Afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for coming. Brief introduction. My name's Clint, camp parent here at this camp. Married to Kirstie. I've got three kids who are all here at camp. And I am a pastor at Donvale Prezi. So I've just been 10 years now at the end of this year. I've been serving there as the assistant pastor. So, yeah, and it's great to have you all here. I hope that what we do is helpful today. I'm going to pray as we kick off, so please join me. Father, as we come to think about prayer and speaking with you, we pray that what I say, what we talk about and share, that it would be helpful for each one of us. Thanks, God, that you're a relational God, a heavenly Father who longs to speak with and hear from your children. So please encourage us all in our relationship with you today and help us to be better equipped to spend time with you regularly and genuinely from our hearts. So teach us, we pray, and help us more and more to live lives that please you. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. So I hope if you don't have an outline, please put up your hand. You don't need to read ahead. We'll be going through it. But I hope that's helpful for you to take notes as you go. You're young, so you've got good eyes. Yes. But what we're thinking about today, prayer, as the title says, why, how, when, what. That's what we're thinking about today. I hope you're not here for the wrong workshop. If you're not here for the prayer workshop, then you might want to make your way somewhere else. But why don't we pray? That's what I want to start with. If you're like me, prayer life can be hard. Sometimes it's going really well. It's hot, might you say. Other times it's cold and it's not happening. We haven't had a time with God in prayer for quite a while. What makes it hard? Why is it so hard? Why do so many of us struggle? And why are so many of you here? As I might be here myself if someone else was running the workshop. So we have our awesome scribe, Matt, and he's going to jot down your answers. Why don't we pray? Anywhere over here. Shout it out.
Just on this side?
Too busy. Yep. Anywhere. Yeah. So we'll keep this side for another question.
It is.
So right half. Why don't we pray? Too busy. What else?
Not sure what to say.
Not sure what to say. Yep.
Concentrate,
yep.
Never got into the habit of doing that.
Yeah, yep. Never got into the habit. Could you ever be too tired? So what were you going to say?
Lack faith.
Lack faith, sure. Maybe especially if you prayed for something for a long time and it wasn't answered, it can sort of lose motivation, lose the heart for it. Lack faith.
Anything else? Some things, I'm really sorry.
Unsure what to say, lack faith. Anything else?
Feel guilty that you haven't been praying.
Ah, and that stops you getting into it. Okay. Yeah. So for some that I talk to, and even for me myself, I reckon if you pray when you first get up, if you're lying down in bed still, you could be too sleepy. So if you're doing it in bed too tired, so that's about the location you've chosen and also the time of the day you've chosen. Maybe it is too early, maybe it is too late. Maybe you should have prayed now before you went to bed and not just some mumbled out prayer for 1 minute before your eyes shut. So yeah, too tired? Anything else? I think that's a good list. Well done. So moving over this side, right? That's why we wouldn't pray. We're starting off by thinking, why pray? Why bother? What's going to motivate us to do it? So what would you put under this list? Why would we bother praying? What's going to motivate us to actually set time aside, do this intentionally? Thoughts? You want to share with someone? Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Before a meal?
Sorry?
Before a meal.
Before a meal. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. So yeah, thanks before a meal. Think about that first one too. We'll come back to this. That's about thinking about our, it's a relational thing. So it's actually conversation, speaking with someone. So it's relational, connecting with someone in a relationship. And for so many of us, we'll come back to this too, but we talk with others we have relationships with. You know, most of us here in this room have the ability to speak, or even if you can't speak, you can communicate in other ways. But it's actually about, it's a flow-on effect. It's an expression of our relationship with another person, with God, Father, Son, and Spirit. So, yes?
Before
reading the Bible, praying before reading the Bible. Why would we do that?
Because
You don't have to answer. Why would we pray before in the Bible?
Ask that God help us understand.
Okay, yeah, yeah. You don't need to write that down. But yeah, asking for God to help us understand it. Yep. It's a spiritual thing that's going on. Yep, and we need God's help to understand it. Coming back to this, I want to say that we have a Father in heaven who wants us to speak to him. If you're living at home with a mum and dad and you have a father, I hope that he speaks with you and you speak with him. And our communication is an expression of that, but it's talking to our Heavenly Father. Followed on from this, grace. You know, God gives us many good things. And it's appropriate if someone gives you something that's good that we say thank you. I think so. Thanks flows on from that. Anything else comes to mind? What if you're... Yeah,
I've got one. God tells us to.
God tells us to. Good. Add that on. Commanded or something. Yep. God tells us. Sometimes when you go through a great difficulty in life, you're faced with great hardship, sadness, a challenge, we have a great need. And so sometimes we pray because we need God's help. We need him to answer. We need him to intervene. So we're pleading for help.
Yeah.
Many reasons why we pray. Thanks heaps, Matt. I'll grab the text off you for the moment. I appreciate that. So prayer, it's just talking with God. It's speaking with God. At speaking to God and with God. I want to suggest to you that prayer is essential for every Christian's relationship, okay? It's an expression of that relationship that we have with our God and Saviour and our Heavenly Father. Quote for you, a couple of quotes. C.S. Lewis wrote, "God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there." We can't find happiness and peace outside of God anywhere else, ultimately. And so God withholds happiness and security, sometimes that we want, so that we won't settle for anything less than finding happiness and security and peace in God himself. And so prayer, it's actually not about getting things. There are times when we need help and we need things. It's not about getting things we want or even what we need. It's actually about knowing someone. It's a relationship with someone. It's a relationship with God. That's what prayer is about. Another writer puts it like this. We need to tell God what we need because we need to know we're dependent upon Jesus for everything. Prayer is acknowledging that without God we can do nothing. So it's not, again, so much about getting what you want, but it's realizing I can't meet my own needs. I can't do this myself. I need God to intervene in my life. So I wanted to say, I forgot to say at the start, as we'll be doing different things and you'll have time to speak and share again. But if you've got questions as we go through, just put your hand up. You don't need to wait to the end. So if you've got a question, just put your hand up and we'll seek to deal with them as we go. So please ask questions. There's no dumb or stupid questions. I'll be happy to take any question, as long as it relates to this, okay? How? I'd like us, how do we pray? Jesus gives us the model. I hope you've brought a Bible with you. We are going to read, okay, Matthew chapter 6. So if you could turn to that, it'll be familiar to many of us. Okay, it's called the Lord's Prayer, spoken by the Lord Jesus. But if you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, because as I was thinking on, reflect on how we should pray, many of you may know this off by heart, might have learned it at church or Sunday school or at home, but it's not actually just knowing the words off by heart, okay? It's actually knowing what this prayer teaches, I think, can really help all of us, me included, in our own prayer lives. But we're going to start at verse 5. Can I get a volunteer to read verses 5 to 8 for us, please? Thank you. Matthew 6, verse 5 to verse 8.
"And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask.
Thank you. So there's quite a few things those few verses tell us. I don't think Jesus is not forbidding us praying with others. We'll come back to that later. But he is encouraging us to not pray in order to show off. Okay? So I want to encourage all of you to go to the prayer meeting this afternoon. Okay? In free time. But don't go so you can show everyone how great you are and the holy and godly and formal words that you use when you pray. But Jesus was speaking to people who were doing that. And so he's rebuking them for that attitude of wanting to show off by the way they pray and the words they use. So he's saying, don't pray out loud or before others if you're just doing it to boast. And he says, rather, he's calling us to be honest, okay? God knows what's in your heart. He knows what you need, so just be open and honest with him. And also, you don't need to use many words. Okay, you don't need to use the right words. There's not a special formula that you've got to pray so that you'll get what you want. It's not about the specific words or how many words or even repeating it over and over and over. That's not how it works. Remember, it's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. But now we come to the Lord's Prayer, verses 9 to 13. Could I get someone else to read that for us? You volunteer. Verse 9 to 13. Thank you.
This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Thank you. So what we're going to do now, you'll see a table down the bottom, okay? All the different lines, the different phrases or prayer points, if you want to put it like that, in the Lord's Prayer. And I would like you, either you can do it by yourself or you can talk with the person next to you. I want you to take 5 minutes and go through all those lines and write down in your own words what that means or what that tells us about God or what it tells us that we should be asking for. So when we pray to our Father, what comes to mind or what should come to mind when we speak to God in that language? Okay, what does it tell us about God? When it tells us God's in heaven, well, why is Jesus telling us that? Okay, so tell us what it means or how it relates to our prayer and the things we should pray for. Take 5 minutes to go through and then we're going to go through it together. I'm going to get input from you all and add some things myself as we go. So 5 minutes to go through and fill out that table. Thank you. Okay, if you haven't finished, don't stress. We're going to run through it together quickly, okay? Line by line, and maybe you'd like to supplement what you've written with things that others contribute or some things that I say as we go through. But this prayer, remember, you might have recited this for years and you've never really, maybe you haven't really thought deeply about what it means and how it might relate to your own prayer life or relationship with God or the things that you pray for. But our Father, what does that tell us about who we pray to? Anyone like to share? And it's just one word answers even. Yep.
He's not just a king or a dictator. He's someone who cares for us.
Thank you. Yep. Not a king or dictator, cares for us. What else did you put down for that Our Father section?
We belong to him.
We belong to him. Yep. Relationship, closeness. Yep. The Greek word that's used is that word Abba, Father, that you find in other parts in the Bible, like in Romans chapter 8, which talk about God being, even what's, it's more the word for daddy, really. So daddy, it's that sort of really close, intimate relationship. And that's who he's asked. Jesus is saying, pray to God like that, like your heavenly dad, is sort of what he's trying to communicate. But that's to communicate lots of different things. It's reminding us, when you kind of pray, our Father, it's good to sometimes take a moment and think, okay, God, what does that mean? It means that you protect me and you provide for me and you meet my needs and you're actually good, even when you don't give me what I want and when I want it. But it's also an expression that God desires closeness with you, his child. If you've trusted in Jesus, you're a child of God, and God, your Father, wants you to speak with him. Yeah. And so this Father, he's infinitely better than any of your fathers or any earthly father. He's infinitely gracious and loving, and he wants us to be secure and know that we are secure in our relationship with Him as a son or daughter of God. So it should communicate all of those things: protection, provision, security, that I'm loved even when everyone else rejects me and I feel alone. I have a Heavenly Father who will never stop loving me. Yeah. He's in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, our Father who is in heaven. What does that tell us? Besides the fact that He's in heaven. Any thoughts? Yes.
Yeah.
Big. I like that. What else? Sorry?
Perfect.
Yep. Perfect. What else?
Ruler.
Above what?
Above earth.
Above earth. Really it is. It's implying that He not only rules over all of earth, it's heaven as well. That's what it's saying. Rules over heaven and earth. Earth and heaven. Exactly. He's all powerful. That means He can deal with our problems, whether they're small or whether they're overwhelming and really big. Yeah. And yet what's amazing is when you think about the coming of Jesus, He loved us too much to stay up there. He actually came down from heaven in Jesus. But we'll come back to that shortly to think more about Him. Hallowed be your name. What are your thoughts on that? What do you reckon that means?
God is holy by nature,
but
we are acknowledging that He is holy.
Yes, and He wants us to acknowledge that He's holy. Yes.
Okay.
And what does that mean, though? Tell me, this is churchy jargon language. He's holy. Tell me what that means. So you're talking with a friend who doesn't go to church, and they hear you say that God's holy, and they look at you with this strange look on their face. How would you explain God's holiness to someone who's not grown up in church?
Blameless,
pure. Good. What else?
Different.
And that's good, because that's sort of so utterly different and separate and far apart. And that sort of explains it too. He's not only sinless, but He's far removed from any sin and anything impure. So different and unique.
In a class of His own.
In a class of His own. Well said. Yep, good. In a class of His own. And hallowed be your name, may that same God, may everyone know that you're utterly different in a class of your own, sinless, separate, perfect. And so I want to encourage you, you could pray through the Lord's Prayer and fill out this phrase with your own words. We'll come back to think about praise soon, but praising God for who He is and using some words in your everyday language that come to your mind. Praising God for His utter perfection, His separateness, His greatness. He's just immeasurably greater beyond comparison than anyone and anything else. Incomparable. Yeah. And the point is, God wants everyone to know that. Hallowed be your name is really praying, God, may everyone know that your name is great and perfectly holy. God wants His name to be known as holy and great and separate. And we can actually do that too. We can help people to know that God's name is great when we live differently. When we live lives that are separate and set apart. When we live God's way. So it's not just in our prayers, but in our life we hallow God's name. We shine out to everyone else around us that He's holy. Because He's calling the shots in our lives. Your kingdom come. What do you have for that? What does that mean? Your kingdom come. Sorry, say that again.
Looking forward to God.
Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to God coming back. Yep. Looking forward to the return of Jesus. And what's going to happen? What's God's plan? What will happen before Jesus comes? What's He doing now?
Building His kingdom.
Sorry? Building His kingdom. And what does that look like? He's building His kingdom. And we're thinking what we should pray for. This is good. Building His kingdom. What does building His kingdom look like? Is He building big, grand churches? Buildings, church buildings. Is that what Jesus wants to happen?
He's building it with us.
He's building with us. Yeah, thank you. Building it with people. So the building of the kingdom is about people becoming Christians and giving their lives to Christ, who is the King of God's kingdom. Okay? So it's about people becoming Christians, submitting their lives to the rule of Jesus the King, and living under His rule. And so it's about people coming under his rule, becoming Christians, and then also growing more like him, growing more like the King Jesus. And again, that tells me they're good things for me to pray for. God wants me to be praying that more people will come under the rule of King Jesus and live his way and grow more like him. And God wants us to live that way wherever we are, whatever we're doing. So you've got a role. God wants to, he wants to give all of us, all his sons and daughters, a role of helping build his kingdom. And what that looks like for you and me might be slightly different. We do it differently with our different gifts. But we should all be loving and serving and building up others with our encouraging words and talking to our friends about who Jesus is and non-Christian friends. So all of us have a part to play in that. When we pray and when we give money and when we speak to non-Christians and when we encourage Christians, when we come on camp and the way I treat people, all of that can contribute to the building of God's kingdom, people knowing and loving and serving Jesus. Or it can undermine that. Yeah. So that includes this building God's kingdom. It includes everything you do to serve the Lord. Serving others could be talking to a friend who about Jesus. It could be helping someone who's down or feeling alone. Yeah. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's that getting at? Yeah. Who said that? Anyone? Yeah, exactly. Yep. Jesus said, not my will but yours be done. Yeah, exactly. So in heaven, the angels perfectly obey God, okay? And this is really a prayer that we would perfectly obey God, like his angels do. At the moment, haven't we heard already this week at the camp that we live in a fallen, broken world with lots of hurt and sadness and sin? And the world's full of people, even you and I, full of people who live our own way instead of God's way. And an illustration on this I find helpful is God being the potter. Okay, and I don't know if you've ever used in high school, I don't know whether you have ceramic classes and whether you've ever used a pottery wheel. Okay, but imagine that lump of clay on the pottery wheel as it spins around and the potter is shaping the lump of clay into a vase or a bowl or something like that. Okay, and God's the potter and we're the clay. And so God keeps spinning the wheel, which is our lives going round. And in that process, he's shaping us and reshaping us. One person puts it like this. He bathes our lives in tears to make us more like Christ. In other words, he's even shaping us through the sad and really hard times. And yet he's sovereign. He's totally in control. He's shaping us into the vessel, the person he wants us to be, so we can be used more effectively for his will. So it's really a call to let Jesus be Lord of our life every day. And if you're not sure what to pray for, I think that's a great prayer point. Lord, may you be Lord of my life today. And so I want to encourage you to pray what we've just heard. Instead of God, please don't give me what I want. My will be done, but may your will be done. May what you want for me, may that happen in my life. May I care about that more. Yeah. Give us today our daily bread. What does that mean?
Talk about material needs.
Material needs, sure. Thank you. Is it only a relevant prayer point if I've eaten bread today? If I had toast for breakfast or a sandwich for lunch? Is it? So if it's not that, it's more than that, tell me what it means. Material needs, how else would you put it? What are you praying for when you pray this? Yes, up the back. No. Yeah, providing what we need. Yeah.
Spiritual needs
too. Yeah, thank you. Yep. So not just material needs, but yep, spiritual needs. Yes. Daily necessities. What might that include? Brainstorm them for me. What are our daily necessities?
Food.
What else? Sorry?
Water.
Shelter.
Love.
Good.
Clothing.
So you know what? I'm not saying do this every day But some days it's good for you to count your blessings, they might call it. List out everything that you can think of that God gave you this day. And there might be something really hard going on in your life. But I think there will still be things that show you that God has met your needs. Your physical needs and your spiritual needs. So what spiritual needs, if you are again in relationship with God through Jesus, what spiritual needs has God already met for you? Shout them out. What do you have by God's grace through Jesus?
Salvation,
the Holy Spirit. What else?
Forgiveness,
thank you. Yes, the Bible. No. Good. I didn't know if you were doing something else, Matt. Yeah, what else?
Comfort. Peace.
Yeah, peace. Peace with God. I'm adopted. I'm a child of God. Forgiveness of sins. There's lots of churchy jargon words that relate to salvation. So I'm justified. I'm right with God. I'm forgiven. I've been redeemed and set free. I've been sanctified. That's holy language again. I was far away. I've been brought close to God. He's washed me clean of my sin. So again, when I've had a hard day or a hard week, and I'll share something more about this year that's been hard for me a bit later, but sometimes when life's really hard, it can help give me perspective and stop me spiraling down into bitterness or depression if I actually take time to list off all the things I already have and that I'll never lose. I encourage you to do that too. Forgive us our debts. As we think about all these blessings we have, the next point, prayer point, reminds us of one of them, that we've been forgiven. But anything else? What did you write down in that section there? Forgive us our sins as we forgive others, or our debts as we forgive our debtors. But no one? Yes, Raina. Please forgive others. Absolutely. And that's especially hard to pray if they've really hurt us. Yeah. Anything else? Thanks, Colin.
Can I ask a question?
Please, go.
Sometimes when I say this line, I might be used to repeat it almost every Sunday at the end of like a big congregation prayer.
Yes.
And when I say this line, I wouldn't necessarily feel like I was asking for forgiveness from God of my sins.
Yeah, yep.
Because it almost felt too gentle.
Yep.
Is that bad?
To not ask forgiveness for your sins?
I don't know. Well, no, that's bad. But...
Thank you. I'll answer the question firstly by saying, on the one hand, when you become a Christian and you turn from sin and trust in Jesus, you get forgiveness for all of your sins, past, present, future. And I don't need to stress that I've got to ask forgiveness for every single sin and worry that God's not going to forgive me if I don't verbally confess it and mention it to him. I find it helpful to think of it a bit like a marriage, really. So when I, and that's helpful because the Bible uses that language too. So when I become a Christian, I'm really joining the bride of Christ. And so the church is the bride and Christ is the groom, okay, the husband-to-be. And so when I become a Christian, it's a bit like I get engaged or married, okay? I join this church that's going to be marrying Jesus. And yet, when you're married, if I fail to confess a sin to my wife, Kirsty, it doesn't mean we automatically stop being married. But I think that what this is saying, forgive us our debts, is still a regular request that God will forgive me for my sin. Because while if I don't confess it, doesn't mean I'm going to stop being married or stop being a Christian, but it actually will help the relationship to be close, okay, and intimate and personal. So if I've wronged my wife or my spouse and I confess that I did the wrong thing, I'm sorry, then it will help us to be close. It won't mean I'm not married. So it's a bit like that with God, that God still wants us to confess our sins to him regularly, and I think this is asking us to do that. And God, please forgive me when I do sin against you. Please forgive me. And yet it's also challenging us to pass on what we've received ourselves and to actually forgive others. So it's not like if I don't forgive someone, that means that I will never get forgiveness myself. But I think what this is saying is, if I really have experienced forgiveness from God for all my sin, I'll be so thankful for that, that I'll be willing to forgive others who hurt me. And me forgiving others who wrong me, it's actually evidence that I am a Christian. It's actually evidence that I've been forgiven myself. But did I answer your question? Okay. Yeah. Any other questions at this point? It's warm in here, I know. So it's a yes. No?
No, sorry.
No, that's all right. It's a reminder, is it this prayer point is a reminder we need Jesus. If Jesus didn't come, I could not have been forgiven. So in this prayer point, if you're praying through the Lord's Prayer, I hope that you'll talk to God about Jesus here. That you will thank him for Jesus, who enables us to be forgiven. Simply by trusting in Jesus and not in what we do. So I hope when we do this, yep, make us thankful for Jesus. And sometimes I think, I reckon maybe you've been hurt by someone really deeply. Maybe it was a friend, maybe they're not a friend anymore because of the way they treated you or what they did. But this prayer point here, and so maybe you're finding it hard to actually forgive that person. This, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. If you're finding it hard to forgive the person, I want to encourage you to look again to Jesus and think about how much he's forgiven you for. Because I'm not here to guilt you into forgiving someone. God wants us to be so thankful and filled with gratitude and blown away by his forgiveness of us that when I really get how sinful I am and how much God's forgiven me, I will want to forgive others. I'll have a desire to forgive others. So if you're finding it hard to forgive someone for the way they wronged you, look again to Jesus. Yeah. Lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? Yes, Rena. Thank you. Protect us from temptations of others, did you say? Or from other things, yep. Yeah.
Just want to clarify, this does not mean that God is giving us temptation.
No, exactly, thank you.
God does not tempt us, but he has the power to turn us the other way.
So yeah, thank you.
Not succumb to the temptation.
Yep. So in James chapter 1, it says that God does not tempt people, his children, okay? God does not tempt people. Our sinful desires are what we get tempted by. But also, I think it's helpful to connect this phrase with the next one. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. It's actually Satan who tempts us, as well as our own sinful hearts. And so this is praying, Lord, please don't let us be tempted by Satan. Don't let me to give in to the sinful desires of my heart, okay? But also, the word for tempt can also be the word for test, okay? In a Greek word. And so, sometimes God does test his children. Put us in a difficult situation to give us an opportunity to shine and grow more like Jesus. Yeah, and so... But it's... I hope that you'll see this is God. Please help me to look out for temptation, not give into it. Don't let me fall, okay? But you're going to be surrounded by opportunities to be tempted every day. And so please, God, help me to be strong, to live a life that pleases Jesus. But also I think it's a reminder too that we can help each other when it comes to temptation. So looking out for your friends and being willing to speak to them privately if they're doing something that's unwise or ungodly, for example. So being honest, speaking the truth in love with family and friends. Yeah. Deliver us from evil. As I said, it's even possibly translated as evil one. Okay, so deliver. Don't let Satan have his way with me, Lord. It's a reminder that God is greater. There's no equal battle between the light and the darkness, despite me being a Star Wars fan. Okay, God doesn't have any competition. Okay, he can easily. It's like he's got Satan on a leash. If you read Job chapters 1 to 3, you'll see that. Satan can't do anything without God's permission. But God's greater and he can deliver us from Satan's power. And so praying, God, help me to remember that. I don't have to give in to temptation. I might have sinned many times in this area of my life, but I don't have to do that. Help me to live differently. Last line. I know it's been a while. Last line. What you have down for that? Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Or forever. Thoughts on that?
Everything belongs to God.
Yeah, everything belongs to God. Thanks. Sometimes we think otherwise. Yeah.
It's concluding with an affirmation that God is in control.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And it's a reminder, isn't it, that God's in control. So this ending wasn't in the earliest Greek manuscripts, okay? Jesus might have still said it, okay? But it's in some later manuscripts, which, and it got included in the King James Version, and that's why when we say the Lord's Prayer in church or when it's taught to you, often you'll have this phrase. But if you're reading the NIV or ESV or something, it won't have that last phrase. I'm saying it's still fine to say it anyway. That reminds us of something that's good and true and right. But it's reminding us that God has the power to do anything he chooses. And he deserves all the honour and glory for it all. So I think that's a great way to finish your prayer, praying that God will be glorified in however he chooses to answer our prayers. So, moving on, when? So, let's think about the Lord's Prayer, if you turn over, I think. Remember we just read earlier in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus said, when you pray, don't do it on the street corner. Don't go and do it loudly before others to show how great you are in your prayer, your words you use. Go into your room, shut the door, do it privately, quietly. Praying on your own is good. I think sometimes where we pray and when we pray, different things work for different people. I wonder, would any of you like to share what works for you? Do you have a place that you go to pray? Or a time that you pray, a time of day? What works for you? Anyone like to share? Yes?
I usually go back home. I live right next to a river.
Yep. Thank you. Anything else? Anyone else?
I like writing down my prayers.
You like writing? That's really helpful. Oh yeah, writing down prayers. Yes. Yeah. So doing it at night time, did you say when no one else is awake? Or sort of when it's quiet, private? Yeah, good. Some older people at my church, they share with me when I visit them in their home about how that's the chair that I pray in, Clinton, okay? And so some people have a special comfortable chair that's probably not leaning back too much that they'll fall asleep, okay? So think about that. What's a good location for when I'm going to pray by myself? I'm encouraging you to not necessarily pray lying down because you might fall asleep too easily. So if you're going to pray in the morning or before you go to bed, stay sitting up or kneel down or do something that will stop you falling asleep too easily. Stand up if you want. Anyone else like to share what's been helpful for you in terms of time of day or location? Yes. Especially if you're a morning person.
I sometimes find time to do it in certain things I'm doing at work. So when in a warehouse, when I'm doing the last stage with the full pallet,
yep.
I can sometimes pray as I'm going around wrapping it. When it's noisy, no one else can hear me as well.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. Some people love going walking when they're praying. You could go for a walk down the street. As we'll get to shortly, I think connecting it with reading the Bible is really helpful. But I just want to encourage you to try something and see what works for you. There's no set right and wrong answers, no set place. You don't have to do it first thing in the morning. The Bible doesn't command us. We have to pray, you know, get up at 5 a.m. and pray for 2 hours. Okay? Remember, it's an expression of our relationship with God. And so, but yeah, praying alone is an important thing. So you'll see there on your list, I think, do you have that there? Yes, so Matthew 6, that's what we looked at already. the example of Jesus. He went out before it was light. He got up when it was dark. He could be by himself. And also Paul says, in all my prayers, I've been praying for you. And every time I remember you, I've been praying for this, this and that. Okay, that's from Philippians chapter 1. So he's obviously praying a lot for others. But I think too, something that I was convicted by, it wasn't until I got to uni, okay? And I came to see that really all through my high school years, I've been a Christian as long as I can remember. I think I became a Christian when I was about 8. But in all my high school years, my prayer list was pretty short. I'd pray for things that related to me, my family, a grandmother or something that wasn't well, someone at church that hadn't been there for a while that was sick. I was really quite inward looking in my prayers. And I was actually being challenged to think about, how do I be more outward looking and pray for more than just me and my family? And you're having a prayer journal, as we had suggested earlier, that were really helpful things. But we'll come back to that shortly. Praying with others. Has anyone ever been in a prayer triplet? Yes, okay, good. Prayer triplets can be really helpful. You get together to share, pray for each other. If you're in a Bible study group with youth group, I hope that you'll be spending some time praying there as well. We've got some examples from the Bible in the book of Acts. Yeah, or again, people are praying in smaller groups. And then as a church, we've got a couple of examples praying at church. But I've certainly spoken to people who said, oh, yeah, when if I ask someone, how's your prayer life going? Oh, I prayed, Clinton, I pray before eating my meal. So I pray grace, and then I pray at church. And I want to encourage you to think, from the examples and the teaching we have in the Bible, if this is really an expression of my relationship with God, if I've got a close relationship with someone, I want to talk to them more than even twice a week. Not just with others at church on Sunday, and not just when I say a one sentence prayer before I eat my dinner, but I want to encourage you to maybe stretch yourself and think about, when is a good time to pray, and what are some other things I can be praying for. But for others, lots of different things work. If you're eventually traveling to uni or to school on a train or a bus, could you read the Bible and pray while you're traveling, making the most of some other time? Yeah. Try something that works. And I want to encourage you to have someone else, maybe it's a youth leader at church, another older Christian, to help keep you accountable in this. So please, you could go up to someone after this camp, one of your youth leaders or another older person in church, can you ask me every 2 weeks how my prayer life is going? And knowing that you're going to be asked might motivate you to pray too. So what do we pray for? What should we pray for? You've got some tips I've given you here. I reckon taking a moment, take a few breaths can be helpful. So you might have been focused on other things, getting ready for school, getting homework done, making your lunch, washing dishes, whatever it is, taking a few moments to be still, and then reading a Bible passage. Okay? And so you don't have to read chapters and chapters. Okay? It could just be you read a few paragraphs. And then, as it says there, picking up on expecting God to speak, you've got that there. E-X-P-E-C-T. This is a suggestion of something you might like to try. So you're reading through Mark's Gospel, okay? So you pick out a key verse, or you reflect on a particular aspect of who God is, or what the passage says about you. You're a child of God, you're a sinner, you're forgiven, something like that. Something that relates to salvation or your life. Focus on something and think about that. Reflect on that. How should my life be different if I really believe this? How should I live or think differently in response to this? So I want to encourage you to work hard on applying what you read in the Bible. Don't just read it and rush out the door or off to the next thing. Take time to reflect, think, and work hard at applying, how does it relate to my life? How should my thinking or behavior be different in response to what I've read? And to help you do that, maybe you'd like to remember this expect anagram. It could be there's an example to follow in that Bible passage you read. Is there a promise to claim or to trust and believe? Is there an error or a sin to avoid? Maybe there is a command to obey, or maybe there's a truth to remember. Any questions on that? Anything helpful you've done in connecting Bible reading with prayer from your own life or experience?
know the family that I'm with, the oldest son of life of six.
Yes.
And Dad, can I pray with you red?
Okay, good. Yes. What does that mean? Can you give us an example of what that might mean, Noah?
So then, Mark will draw out the theology of what that passage is saying for our lives.
Yep.
And pray that.
Yes. So what you're doing is you're praying the Bible sort of back to God. Yeah, it's excellent. Really recommend that. And then, so the point is, what I'm encouraging you all to do, remember I'm saying, if your prayer life is dry, you find yourself always praying the same things, I want to encourage you to connect what you read in the Bible to what you're praying about. Because then you'll always have variety and new things to pray. Okay, so it keeps it fresh, it keeps it interesting, and it keeps giving you new language to pray. And that's why you've got first step, take a moment to be quiet or still, read the Bible passage, reflect on what it means. Step three is pray, and you might like to keep a prayer journal. Does someone here keep a prayer journal? Can you tell us what it is? What's a prayer journal? Okay, thanks, Noah.
I just literally write out word for word what I pray.
Okay, good. And why do you do that? What have you found helpful about that?
Well, I can reread it. Well, sort of writing it out helps me think about what I'm doing, like what I'm praying, and then also where my prayers are leading, so I can often see reoccurring things. And like yourself, the things which do come up a lot stand out far more when you're rewriting them.
Exactly. And it can be so encouraging, actually, months or even years later, to go back and read over them. See how the things you've prayed for have changed, or how God's answered prayers. So again, if you're dry in your prayer life, you're not praying, or you're always praying for the same things, give this a go. It's just another tip and encouragement. Start a prayer journal. Get an exercise book. I think you've got been given one this week. I think it's a blue cover, isn't it? Keep it. Start using that as a prayer journal. I encourage you in that. And then remember I said earlier on, often when I went through my high school teenage years, I found myself always praying for the same things. There's a couple of suggestions here, methods for prayer, that help you be more outward looking. This one that's joy. Has anyone heard that before? They don't know what I mean by joy. Excellent. What does J stand for? That might be different. Yes, Jesus. What was the second one? Over, yes, Jesus over yourself, yep. Or I've also heard it as Jesus others yourself. So I want you to write that down. The J is for Jesus. You come to pray, you've read the Bible, start off, instead of jumping straight to the things that you need or that are on your minds, think about, okay, J first, J-O-Y, joy. What are the things that matter most to Jesus? Okay, people being saved, people growing more like him, people trusting him in their hard times. People turning from sin to live his way. You living his way. Pray for things that matter to Jesus. That, remember, your kingdom come, your will be done stuff from the Lord's Prayer. Joy over others. If the O is others, again, that's encouraging you to be more outward looking. Pray for others before you pray for yourself. Okay? Maybe a lot of churches might have a little prayer list that's handed out. Maybe in your church newsletter or something. Your church has that, instead of just losing it or putting it in the recycling or the rubbish bin, maybe you could keep it. Ask mum or dad to keep it for you. But praying for others, maybe you get missionary newsletters at your church. You could be praying for missionaries who are serving overseas. It's not something that adults have to do, or you only have to do at church on a Sunday. You guys can do that. If you're in a relationship with God through Jesus, if he's your Heavenly Father, God hears your prayers. And your prayers to your Heavenly Father will make a difference. Whether it's someone who's your grandmother, a person who's got cancer at church, or a family member or whatever. So others, and why for yourself. So it's not saying your own needs don't matter, but it's helping us to be other person focused and servant hearted, putting others before ourselves. Yeah. And I want to encourage you too, when you pray for yourself, it's not just God, please help me to get an A on my exam, or God, help me to get into this uni course, or God, help me to find a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or God, help my ingrown toenail to get better. You know, I want to encourage you, when you pray for yourself, think about the Lord's Prayer, okay? Think about the Lord's Prayer. He wants me to be a kingdom builder, where I actually am helping others to know and follow Jesus too. So when you're praying for yourself, I want to encourage you to pray for that stuff too, that I'll grow more like Jesus, that I'll live passionately for him, and that I'll want to tell others about him. Yeah, God, make me more like Jesus. Help me to hate my sin and turn my back on it and live a life that pleases God. Yeah, so don't forget the spiritual stuff. You've probably all heard, or many of you will have heard of ACTS. ACTS. Can you put your hand up if you've heard of this acronym when it comes to prayer? Okay. A, what's A stand for?
Adoration.
Adoration. You might like to write that down if you haven't heard this before. This is another way of praying. You might, again, variety is, someone said, the variety is the spice of life. Variety helps our prayers to stay fresh and interesting. Don't always use the joy method. After doing it every day for 2 weeks, that will become boring, okay? So reading the Bible helps vary things, and so does praying along these lines, ACTS, adoration. And I've got a description of what that might include. Yes, question? Yes, confession is the next one. So adoration is the praise God prayers. I love you because. But don't just say one sentence. Again, like we said earlier, fill out some words. Tell God what he's like. And you might have been reading a Bible passage that talks about grace. And you could actually start praising God for his grace. What does that mean? God, what is your grace like? You're just having it's like a conversation. You're speaking to him in your natural voice with your natural words. God, your grace means you give me, you give people what they don't deserve. It's a free gift and you've given that to me. Thank you, Lord. I praise you because you're a God of grace. I love you because you saved me when I didn't deserve it, etc. So starting with praise. C's confession. I'm sorry, God, because?
I messed up.
Sorry?
I messed up.
Yeah, I messed up. Exactly. I messed up. And I hope it's not just about what we do and what we say. It's actually a heart thing too. Sin comes from the heart. So it's actually, God, I'm sorry, not just for getting into a fight with my brother or sister, for example. I'm actually sorry, God, because I wanted to be the boss. And I'm sorry because I wanted my sibling, my brother or sister, I wanted them to do what I wanted. And I want the universe to revolve around me. And God, I want you to do what I want. So it's actually confessing and saying sorry for the heart desires that show itself in our different sins. So we actually need forgiveness even for our heart sinful desires, our selfishness. But then you've got thanksgiving, that's T. And we talked about that before, the things that we can thank and praise God for. And yeah, the things we can thank and praise God for. We talked about some of them before. We didn't mention that there's friends, there's family, there's relationships. It could be things you get in Australia. Like if you've been on a mission trip to Malawi that we'll hear about, is that tomorrow? It will remind you of all the things that you have that you and I should be thankful for. Healthcare, free schooling, roads that are safe, police and ambulance, lots of things. If you actually take time to list out the things you can thank God for, it's a really long list.
Yeah.
And S, what's that? Big jargon word?
Supplication.
Supplication. It's another word for requests, okay? Asking God for things.
Yep.
Asking God for things. So that's the please God prayers. And that's really when you could at that point at supplication, think of Jesus, others, yourself. So you can actually combine these two methods of prayer. You can do ACTS, and when it comes to the S, supplication, you actually still then pray for things that matter to Jesus and building the kingdom, and then others, and then yourself last. Yeah. We are going to have a break for 5 minutes. Okay, as you're finding your seat. As you're finding your seat, we're on page 3 of your notes. And you'll see another table. And under this, praise, confession, thanks, requests. What I'm going to get you to do is to find and be part of a small group. So at least you could do it with just two of you, but I prefer that you try and be part of a group of 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? But whatever works, I just don't want you on your own, but even in a small group, and I'm going to be asking, and you can move. So if you want to be part of a group, move now. So get up and move if you want. Rearrange the chairs, and I'm going to be telling you which Bible passage you'll be turning to. So quickly get into a group, please.